We're reading this morning from Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and reading from verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and that's a hard one. And a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. And then Job 7 verse 6 states, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And Psalm 90, verse 10 states, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So we're given 70 years, and after 70 years the strength is labour and sorrow. As they say, in modern times, things start going south. So, as you guess, our subject this morning is time. And as we have read from Job 7 verse 6, Job tells us that time passes swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Have you ever seen a weaver shuttle, how fast a weaver shuttle travels? How fast a weaver shuttle travels across the room? It flies across the room. There was a time not long after I left school, I was employed by the Ulster Weaving Company in the Linfield Road in Belfast, and as part of my training in the job, I spent a week with a weaver who showed me how to operate a loom. And I was amazed at how fast the shuttle travelled back and forth across the loom, so fast that I could not track it with my eyes. And Job says that our days pass swifter than this. So how quick does our days pass? They're swifter than a shuttle going across a weaver's loom, which you can't track with your eyes. Then in Psalm 90 verse 10, David tells us that the days of our years are 70 years. And if by strength we should live to be 80, then during those extra years, aches and pains will increase. Hearing loss can occur. Eyesight may become poor. Memory loss and mental capabilities ensue. But we want to focus this morning on Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2, which states that there is a time to be born and a time to die. We want to concentrate on a time to die. And from the time when we are as a newborn baby, we take our first breath, we start on the journey of life. And then every subsequent breath after that first breath is one breath more, one breath nearer to death. And death is a destination from when we reach it. There will be no phone calls home, no text messages home, no emails home, and certainly no returning home, no way back. The vast majority of people who are living today, and all those who have lived or have lived their lives ignoring the fact that one day, sooner or later, that they too would die. I was thinking of another verse in Ecclesiastes which says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. The house of mourning's a funeral. The house of feasting's a party. It's better to go to a funeral than a party. Why? Because it makes you think that one day you'll be in that coffin. So the majority of people have the fear and the pain. The majority of people have the fear of pain, and they have the fear of suffering, and they have the fear of the unknown. And for them, death is the unknown. And so they fear death. And put the thought completely out of their minds. Put the thought of death completely out of their minds. And as if they think that death will not happen to them. But whether they believe it or not, death is inevitable. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9 states that, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. And we know all sin and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. And as in Adam, all die, but as in Christ, also be made alive. Then in Hebrews 2 and verse 14 states that, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things that behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted or tested, he is able to succour them that are tempted or tested. In these verses we see that God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, became God the man. And as we heard this morning, Pilate said, behold the man. God the Son became God the man, becoming flesh and blood, and that through his death on the cross at Golgotha, that he would deliver those who will believe on him from the devil, and who had all their lives been a prisoner to bondage, and had been afraid all their lives of death, and had been in bondage to the same. and through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who have belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have asked the Lord to save them, they were born again of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that they have become a child of God, an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, who have received the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and who are no longer in bondage to the devil and to the fear of death. John chapter 3 and verse 1. If you'd like to turn to John chapter 3, or sorry, John chapter 11, verse 1. It's John chapter 1. It's quite a long reading, but it's very worth a reading this morning. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, Plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then saith Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that she arose quickly and came on to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come there, Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not had died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." And as Martin said on the Lord's Day, if he hadn't named Lazarus, it would have come out of all the graves. So, in verse 11, we read that these things said Jesus, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." And here, in these verses, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ states that when a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ dies, that they enter into sleep, which is a word in the concordance which means rest. And so when the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ dies, they enter into rest. Acts chapter 7 and verse 48, and it's Stephen speaking to the Pharisees. "The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Have not my head made all these things, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears? Ye do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, and have not kept it, When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him and with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And then in Acts chapter 22 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul speaking. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. So in these verses we see that the brutal stoning to death of Stephen for the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Stephen's death is described as falling asleep, and that Stephen too entered into rest away from all the persecution which had been set him, and as Paul said, he was consenting unto his death. So Stephen died, and his death was entering into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ, free from all his persecution and trouble. Then in Luke 9 and 29 we read, "And as he prayed," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah, who had died themselves hundreds of years before, who appeared in glory, and spake with the Lord Jesus Christ of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And see this word decease, which is defined in the concordance as a departure, or exit, or an exodus. And then thinking of Moses and the children of Israel departing from the bondage in Egypt, the exodus from Egypt. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul speaking states that, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith." And 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul speaking again says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved," in verse 6, "therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And he would rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And here in these verses, we see that Paul describes his body as a tabernacle, which in the concordance is defined as a residence for the Spirit. And then Paul states that when his tabernacle, that is his body, is dissolved, which means is buried in the grave, then he is, soul and spirit, will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And so there we see that death for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a departure from a body, which is a constrainment by time as it gradually wastes away and dissolves. And so for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, death is a departure, an exit, an exodus from the body, which is a type of Egypt, an exodus from Egypt, which is this world system, to be present with the Lord in heaven, where they will receive a new body, fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body, to live for all eternity with the Lord. So then why should any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ be in bondage to the fear of death? No fear of death with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have considered time and death this morning from God's word as they affect the believer. The Lord Jesus Christ, we have considered time and death this morning from God's word as they affect the believer who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about the unbeliever? That is all those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are millions of people around the world today who believe that death is the end, it's final, that's it, no more. Ruth and Margaret and I were in Bangor on Saturday, and we go to a place called the Pit Stop for our lunch. Well, as you come through the door now, because of COVID, there's a sanitation station, and then they have circles on the floor and two footprints in each circle. But as you step closer to the counter, you know, you join the line and you step closer to the counter, you're keeping your distance, you see, because of the COVID rules. But when you get to the counter, you turn left and go along the counter, and along the counter is a bon parfait, and your food is there and you can see what you want to eat. It's quite good food. But yesterday, because it was the 9th of October, it's coming near Halloween, at the end of that line, there was a skeleton. And the skeleton was pointing left to go left. But there was a placard round the skeleton's neck. And on the placard, there was two words. It said, "The end." You know, the end. Death is final. Well, that's the lie. That's the lie of the devil. There is no end. Life for the soul continues on. The body goes to the grave, and the soul goes to either hell or heaven. So we have considered the believer's death, so we look at death for the unbeliever. Jesus Christ, speaking at Luke chapter 16, verse 19, and the Lord Jesus Christ speaking states that there was a certain rich man, and it came to pass that the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The rich man died, and his body was buried, and in his grave, but his soul and spirit were in hell, and in torments, and he will await there until the resurrection of the dead, along with all other unbelievers who believe not in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, because they did not meet the Lord Jesus Christ in time as their Saviour, will meet him in the resurrection of the dead at the great white throne of judgment as their judge, which we read of in Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. All those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have believed the lie of the devil, the deceiver, who says that we do not need a saviour. But the Apostle John states in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he, God, gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." At the great white throne of judgment, when the books are opened and you are there for only one reason, and that is that you are not found written in the book of life. And there is also only one reason that you're not found written in the book of life, which is because you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and asked him to be your Saviour and receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a choice to make, and that is to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in time as our Saviour, or to meet him in the resurrection of the dead at the great white throne of judgment as our judge. The choice is ours to make. Heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ in an eternal body fashioned like unto his glorious body, or in the lake of fire and brimstone with the devil, beast and false prophet, with all other unbelievers, with a resurrection body fit to endure eternity in the lake of fire. So if you at this time do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, why not call on him while he may yet be found, and ask him to save you, and he will. Do not delay. Do not wait for tomorrow, because for you tomorrow may be too late, because we cannot boast ourselves of tomorrow. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 1 Corinthians 6 and 2. There's a hymn that sums it up. 2-3-1 in the Redemption Songs. I'm just going to read it. "Life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf, like the binding off a sheaf, being time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, being time. For as flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away. Oh, you have been here to stay, be in time. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom, be in time. Time is gliding swiftly by, death and judgment draw off now, to the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. Sinner, heed the warning voice, make the Lord your final choice, then all of heaven will rejoice, be in time. Come from darkness into light, come to Jesus, make you right. Come, let Jesus make you right, come and start for heaven tonight, be in time." David, would you commit the meeting to the Lord in prayer?
Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name again for your work this morning. There's a time to live and a time to die.
Yes.
Sadly, Father, I've heard that people only look at the path for the living, but never pay attention to the dying. And we thank you, Father, this morning that Scripture tells us, blessed are those that's in the first resurrection. And we thank you, Father, that we'll be in the first resurrection if we're in the grave. Yeah. When the Lord comes to take us to look himself, where we'll be in the grave and where we'll be alive. As our brother said through the word, those that are in the grave will be sleeping. Oh, they'll be rising from the body, but they'll be present with the Lord. But there'll be a new body given. And Father, we'll all be changed if we're like our Saviour. And we'll have eternal life. And I thank Father that our brother this morning has given us a clear vision, Father, of the things that lies ahead. And the things that, Lord, that happens when we part from this scene of time. Yes, Father, the time is very brief. And we pray that, Lord, it goes that quickly. And it's only when you're young and you think it's going to last for a long time. Mm-hmm. But, Father, the time is in that quick. And before you know it, you're in your 70s, and then before you know it, you're in your 80s if you're allowed to go that distance or blessed to go that distance. And so, Father, we thank you again for thy word. Well, your word is good, Father. It's all there, and the psalm has brought it out. And we pray, Father, that those that would hear that this morning would take note, Father, that there is judgment coming. And there's a time that, Father, they'll pass from this scene of time. And where are they going to be? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoso believe in him shall not perish, but there it is, Lord. Eternal life. And so, Father, we give you thanks and we praise you. And, Father, as we were reading, Father, for the three went up the mountain, Father. That when they went up the mountain, that Moses and Elijah, they were all there, they were alive. Because our God is not a God of the dead, he's a God of the living. And so, Father, we thank you again for our time this morning. We're going to help you give us some.
Yes.
We give you thanks and receive his love in precious name. Amen.
Thank you.